Good morning, everybody. It is 24th January. January is still going. I know some people are like, oh my God, it can't be. And I have money left. No, I had no money already on the 10th, the 4th, the 3rd. So here we are, the 24th. We've made it. You're almost at the end of January. And then it's that very, very short, funny, weird month of February, which nobody knows what to do with. But in the studio, we have Ben and we have Simpiwe. So we get the full house this morning. Except, look at me. I'm not in the studio. What the hell happened? Morning, Ben.
You had a cliff, you had a big night last night. Looks like you just rolled out of the door there, but.
Yeah, it was my nephew's 11th birthday. Woo!
Hey, wherever you do your drinking, don't let us judge you.
And Simpiwe is there as well, looking good to go on this Friday. How's it, Sims?
Morning. I'm very happy. I'm happy on the behalf of the people that got paid today. You know, there's some people, a notification clicked in, and they're like, "Khumonate, khumonati." So I'm happy on their behalf. Like, it's a good day. To have a good day.
a funny suntan you got going there, Ben.
Yeah, I know. I should tell you some people about it. So yesterday, I was kind of rushing to get to golf because I was filming something in Four Ways, and then I had a tee-off time at Royal Johannesburg, and I put the sunblock on badly, clearly. So I've got, like, little patches of pain. So I've clearly buried myself in odd places. Sorry, just James, technical question. I feel like a Ray Charles this morning. Where am I looking?
Okay, yes.
Yes.
Right.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you.
The eyes straight in front. All right. Well, we had a fun show on Wednesday, and I got to spend the morning with Bitcoin Butt, who, of course, is having an excellent time at the moment. But you've also become a bit of a Bitcoin butt, Ben, since Trump was sworn in. I've never heard you talk so much about cryptocurrency. That's good.
Yeah, I've always had some, but I was taken for a puss by that Celsius network, unfortunately, like a lot of people were. You know, there's a lot of rug pulls, pump and dumps, those kind of things out there. It's all balanced out in the end. But it's a fun thing to look at, you know. And also, you can get to say words like Trump pump. I like saying that. It's like when it goes up, it's clearly because of Trump. So you got to say Trump pump.
A Trump pump.
As you know, I'll cheer for most things that are interesting.
But Trump, the Trump pump.
Because when Trump got elected, Bitcoin went on a proper bull run. And he's a big factor towards these things because people want to have more free markets and he's the face of freedom and those kind of things. Whereas the demonic left, they want to regulate the fuck out of these things.
Did you just call them the demonic left?
Well, the trajectory is there, is it not?
Well, okay. Can't argue with you on that.
Just joining the dots, guys.
See what he did yesterday? One of the things that everybody's talking about online is that Trump went and signed an executive order to declassify the JFK, RFK, and Martin Luther King Jr. files and requested that the pen used be given to RFK Jr., who's his nominee for Secretary of Health and Human Services. So this is going to be a big thing because conspiracy theorists have been throwing around. I mean, there are books written, right? Fat books like this about who really killed JFK, how many shooters were there, how much was the government involved. I mean, for conspiracy theorists, this is like their golden holy grail. That's the only way I can put it. So if you're a conspiracy theorist and you aren't excited by this, you're not a conspiracy theorist. And even people who are not conspiracy theorists are like, come on, tell us what really happened, because these are some of the most famous things that the government is supposed to have been involved in from day one, right? Who killed JFK?
Sorry, could I just jump in there and say, can we stop using the phrase conspiracy theorist, please? Because it just cheapens people who are looking for the truth. Can we not call them truth seekers?
No, because some of them are not looking for the truth.
We've seen in the last 2-3 years, conspiracy theorists are more right than anything else that have been put out there in the ether. So I think this name that was originally created.
No, because some of them are not looking for the truth.
We've seen in the last 2-3 years, conspiracy.
Oh. Okay.
You make a point so good on the show, it comes back at you.
You were saying, Ben?
Oh, Cliff's gone to sleep there. So, yeah, I think it's because the CIA apparently created this term conspiracy theorist to basically laugh off people who were trying to look for the truth. And that's what it comes back to. So seeing as we live in a world where things can be like rebranded and Cyril can make shit up, can we not just rephrase things to be like more favorable? Because the whole thing is we want to seek the truth out of this whole stuff. That's what it comes down to. So if we just go, oh, conspiracy theorists are going to love it, it just means that the documents have already been cheapened. So if we're seeking the truth, sounds better, it's more official, and then people will say, ah, but the truth seeker said this, and then they'll be taken more seriously.
I think that sounds even more crazy, the truth seeker.
Look, it's going to take a bit of time to bed in, granted. It's not the easiest thing to cover off the tongue.
I'm a truth seeker, and this is what I believe in.
Yeah, but look, we'll work it out, guys. I just think we should start on a better footing. Conspiracy theorists, let's throw it away, right, as of today.
Okay. I don't know about truth seekers, but okay, if you say so.
Conspiracy theorists, that also sounds stupid when that started.
But I'm with it, because then it means there's a bit of crazy there. You're going to tell me something that has a bit of truth, but also you're going to add in your own spice and aromat.
Well, you say that truth is stranger than fiction is another phrase that's used. The crazy is embedded. The crazy is there. So taken.
Ben?
Yeah.
The conspiracy theorists are going to want to know what's written on your shirt.
Oh, Jacksonate, you know.
Oh, there we go.
That's right. So, yeah, you know, just
what
means.
What does it actually say? Like, what's the meaning?
You should rather Jacksonate than vaccinate.
Oh. What is
strong in life? Really asking me, okay.
Oh, wow. Interesting shirt.
See, this is where the conspiracy starts, Impure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Well, I sought the truth of that, and then I decided to become stronger. See, guys, the phrase will work. Give it time. We bet it in.
So no,
okay, well, I'll tell you what I have to get to. A lot of interesting things that we have on the agenda this morning, and I want to go straight to those. So let's take a look. First of all, I sent James some stuff last night before I went to sleep and then didn't wake up on time. So the first one is, and this is a picture, you know, Ben and I love sending each other pictures of Queen Camilla. We have for years because, of course, she's such an interesting and I suppose, attention getting, even though she's not an attention seeking person.
I was going to go with timeless, but yeah.
Well, I mean, you know where this is going, Ben, because you already know what this picture is. Why don't you explain this to people? Because maybe they don't know what it is. Here's the King Charles, showing a box with it looks like a blanket in it, and there are lots of people who are very interested. And from the angle, you can maybe just see a little bit of straw at the bottom of the box. What exactly is this we're looking at?
That's Camilla's travel chest. So when they go to the country house and they do little local things, they bundle Camilla into that. It's a special kind of tartan. It's not her racing tartan. It's more her grazing tartan. As you can see, Charles is so chuffed because it's actually a new one. She hasn't seen it yet. So when she trots in, tell you what, it's going to be all kinds of happiness.
And really, I mean, when she when she's doing a lot of running around the paddock, she likes to have that box nearby. And sometimes they travel with her in it. Sometimes she has a sleep. You know, that kind of
thing. That's great. I mean, people say the royals waste a lot of money. I think the fact that Camilla's travel chest is so resplendent nowadays, I think that's money well spent. You got to look after the icons. Aye.
And really, you know, compared to how much Harry and Meghan cost, she's hardly anything.
No, she's
Camilla's cost an absolute song.
The perfect modern royal.
Yeah, nicely. Okay, and then I thought that this is probably worth us referring to. So, Simpiwe's got a new obsession. It's South African doing the most. Now, what? You've got to explain this to us, because every time you bring a new trend to us, it's probably something that the rest of us have not heard about. You're very quick to figure out the trend before the rest of us do. So why don't we talk about this, Simpiwe?
So I don't think it's a new trend. I think South Africans have been at it. They're very creative. It's very out there. I don't think I want to live anywhere else, because what a wow, what a who. And this time around, you guys have seen the guys at the robots who would want to wash your windscreen, right? And you usually have to say, nah, I'm good, sharp, or they'll do it anyway by fire, by force. But now they're even doing it to the Checker 60 guys, right? And there's a video to back me up. I'm not making this up. South Africans are just living You're living another like life, because what a wow. So James, roll the bumper. Look at that. And there you have it. South Africans absolutely doing the most. I love it. Like, this is the country we live in. Man.
You see, those
guys. I also love how ingrained the 60-60 thing is now, because that was a pick and pay guy and you just called him a 60-60.
Yes,
it's like a plastic packet became a Checkers.
Yes.
Now, that's just any Oak on a bike is now called a 60-60.
Yes. Even like, I don't even say Uber Eats guy. No, it's the Checkers 60-60 guy. In my head, this guy is from Checkers. He's going to deliver something to someone within those 60 minutes. And hey, but yeah.
It's so funny how, like, Checkers in particular has the power to do that. Someone sent me a picture of a plane that has been covered in, like, Checkers 60-60 livery, right? So it looks like a Checkers 60-60 plane. So a friend of mine sends this to me yesterday, and I look at the picture, and it's like a, you know, a normal plane from Joburg to Cape Town or one of those. And it says, must be a huge order that. It's a normal passenger plane, but everybody's thinking it's probably full of stuff. And it's going to fly badly. It's going to cross the stop streets before other planes. It's going to try and, you know, cut corners. I think those 60-60 guys are like, I think we lose like two a day because of the way they drive.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. No. They make me mad. In fact, if there should be people that are not on the road, it's those guys. It's just that I know that they're delivering something and I'm like, it drop, but no, those people, they just, did you buy your license, sir?
No, dangerous. Very, very bad. I also heard that in my neighborhood, all the 60-60 guys live in one house. And I don't know if this is true or not. This is just a rumor I heard. They all live in one house. And they all go out from there to do all their different rounds. It's quite possible. Have you seen when they drive past each other? Have you seen how they always wave to each other?
Yeah.
Like they do all know each other.
I thought it was just like a nice, like, you know, when you, you know, work for the same job, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I mean, as far as I understood, it's like they actually. They all know each other.
Mm-hmm.
They all live in one house. Like every chick is 60-60 person in the country. They all live in one house. The funny thing is that I think that's probably one of the biggest employers, because people don't even call them, like, you remember you used to say Mr. Delivery Guy or Uber Eats Guy, or now we just say chick is 60-60. And I'm not sure if you can work for all of them at once, but it's possible, right?
No, because you have to have the branded like bucket at the back, so you can't just somehow pick up anything from anybody.
For the Checkers guys.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because you also
Sorry, Ben. I see Lee says Checkers are doing so well. They're awesome. I only order from them when I do order from them. Just put that back up. There's a bit of a delay here.
Oh.
There it is. When I do order from Pick and Pay every now and then, it's just not the same. No scooter, and they're always later. I don't know how you guys feel about this. I'm not afraid to order anything online these days. I order a lot of stuff, but when it comes to like doing the actual grocery shopping, I especially like fruit and veg and stuff like that, I actually want to choose the stuff myself. I don't know how you feel about it. Am I being very old school?
Yes.
I mean, there is a tactile kind of thing. Depends what you like to eat. I think Pick and Pay is very ironically named. I think DJ Fresh is more fresh than what they produce. I mean, literally, you order produce from there, it's not coming back great. You'll get a mango you'll eat in a month's time. Cucumbers have seen better days. No, you don't mess around with that.
Yeah, but I disagree. I love ordering food online. Like, that's the one thing I think I can do. Without thinking about it, you just see what you want. You know the brand. I think the only thing is you need to be someone who you know what you like to eat. If you're one of those picky people who are like, I'm not sure what I'm feeling for, let's see what's out there, then you have to go into the store. But if you like butter, bread, milk, eggs, you know the brands you like already, it makes it so much more easier. And then afterwards, within 60 minutes, I don't even need to leave the house. Within 60 minutes, they're there, you know, I can cook afterwards.
Yes, and you know what the most important thing is, Simpiwe? You lessen your carbon footprint by not going to the shops in your car.
Yeah. And I don't have to bump into people I don't want to see as well. So it's a win-win.
Look, all of us must stop using our cars because China makes all the emissions anyway.
More.
Hey, you were saying, Karen?
No, sorry. Mapelo says in the comments they spend most of the day with each other at the mall. So that's why they all know each other.
Yeah, they also, yeah, they do like a taxi driver thing where they'll chill in one place until they get like a delivery, which I also find a bit weird. Like,
okay. Yeah, and then you see the cans of Score or whatever other cheap energy drink that fuels these people just strewn across the fucking ground.
I saw you post something the other day, Ben, about those ones that, who was it who tried to foist those things on us? Those, what are those other energy drinks called? Prime. And I saw you saying, yeah. Oh, they're still trying to foist this stuff on us.
For all of the goodness, Checkers is like, fuck, we got to try to get these back. And they've come back aggressively. They're going for a 2 for 50 rand approach. There was a stage where you can get one for like 9.99 rand. They were thinking, yeah, this is it. And still no one took them. So now they've given it 6 months, and now they've gone back to 2 for 50. Like, we see you, Checkers.
Yeah, I just don't like it when they ask you, and this is why I don't order groceries like that anymore. I've done it once or twice. When you can't find the thing that you want, they can't find the thing that you want in the shop, then they substitute it with something. And it's never, I don't know, maybe it's because you're not making the decision, but it's always some complicated thing. You can save a lot of money by ordering groceries online, says Lee. Lee's a big fan of this, obviously. They keep a list for you of your past orders, and then you just pick the same every time. It's in the actual shops, you always end up spending more. That's probably true because you see stuff that you don't need, right?
Yes, and the worst thing you can do is go shopping for food when you are hungry. It is a disaster. You're going to buy things that you don't need. You're going to buy an extra sauce and be like, I need this, I need that. By the time you get to the till, you're spending 5,000 rand or maybe 2 million all because you're hungry and you just needed a pie.
Yeah, and also if you take kids, they'll obviously want you to throw things in there. Online, they're not sitting there going, add this.
Yeah.
Just do it on the sly. You got groceries done.
Yeah, kids are...
Not buying your nonsense.
Yeah, kids are something else. They just know how to manipulate you because they are throwing a tantrum. And then you look like the bad guy by saying no because everyone's looking at you like, it's just a packet of marshmallows. You're like, yeah, they cost 50 bucks.
Are you crystal balling your life here?
Something like that.
This is Simpiwe 5 years time. Fuck. Like,
why? You know.
Speaking of this, if you are actually going to drive to the shops these days and you're going to do your shopping, you need to park somewhere. So Simpiwe has found out what the most expensive parking spot in the world is. The whole world. Is that right?
Yeah, you know. Cape Town's doing the most. And so there's a tiny 16 square meter parking spot in Clifton, Cape Town, which was recently sold for, do you guys want to take a guess?
Wow, it's going to be ridiculous, huh? 2.8 million.
2.8, not bad. Gareth?
Listen, Clifton, there's such a demand for space and you're on the edge of the ocean there and there isn't a lot of room. I mean, people already... If you wanted to, in the days where you could still build something there, you have to dig into the mountain or down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I reckon get to 4 or 5 million.
Okay. Gareth, you way off. Ben, you were closer. It was recently sold for 2.5 million rands. Like,
yeah, I know my parking base.
Like, that's expensive. That's like equivalent to a house.
Yeah,
a luxury house.
But not to the people who have bought that. That's not their equivalent because they would never live in a 2.8 million rand house, 2.5 million rand house. It's all relative, guys. Some people are just better in life.
I'm not surprised. Something. So this obviously someone negotiated with someone else for an existing one. They didn't build a new one.
Yes. So this was an existing one. And the second most expensive parking lot that was ever sold was for 2.2 million rand. So yeah, that's what parking spots are going for in Cape Town. Very small, very, very small. 16 square meter. That's nothing.
Tiny. Vyasin says, I'm going to apply for the parking guard position at that place.
They'll tip you with 100 rand at a time.
Exactly. All right. And then I did send you this, James. So just show them. Let me find it for you quickly. Show them the picture of the dude. This is a guy, and it's a serious, horrible story, but I just want you to look at this picture. This is the picture of the guy who stabbed three girls. Crazy hair and crazy eyes. He stabbed three little girls in Britain, and it's taken them a long time to... He's a Nigerian, he's of Nigerian descent. They've been umming and ahhing because Keir Starmer's government can't decide whether they want to prosecute bad people or not. And you tell me, when you look at that guy's face, you look at his crazy hair and you look at his eyes, you tell me if you think that that person is stable, because I still think you could trust your gut on things like this. And my gut says to me, if that guy was walking on the street towards me, I would cross to the other side of the street so I wouldn't have to come anywhere near to him. Am I wrong? Does he look crazy, or is it just me?
Yeah, I think he looks quite dangerous.
He looks like he hasn't taken a bath in a few days, you know. Like, if I promise you, if the afro was a bit combed out and looking a bit better, I don't know, I'd be like, yeah. I mean, he is a man at the end of the day, so I'm always, like, scared of men. But, like, in general, he just looks like he hasn't taken a bath.
I don't know. I think that it's not just the hair, it's the look in the eyes as well. I still think you can tell. Your gut instinct is like, spend more time around that person or not. And that one's like, no, get the hell away.
True.
Call me a purist. Okay, how about this? Staying in Britain. And here's a guy who tried to look like David Beckham. He spent £20,000, which sounds like a lot of money. But I think he got his money's worth. So he's now £14,000 in debt. But I don't know if he got... I don't know if he really got what he was looking for. What do you think?
That's the best maths equation I've ever seen in my life. Because not only has he not looked like David Beckham, he's just been confirmed as poor in the most cutting use of the English language.
Yeah, this man doesn't have friends. They should have told him, number one, lose weight. Just let's start there.
Start, yeah.
Like, that's a good start. And then do the plastic surgery afterwards. David Beckham is fit, bruv. Like,
but again, maybe we should actually applaud the ambition of a man with a £6,000 net worth to do this.
I promise you could have lost the weight with that £6,000.
That's a good start.
I promise you. And he could have gone some tats. That's what you start with. You start with the light work stuff. You lose the weight, you get the tattoos, and then you do all the face modifications and whatever.
It's like you don't get fit for a really great suit when you're not in good shape, because then what's the point? Because then it's just a waste of money. You're throwing money away.
Well, someone says in the comments, Janet, that's a Temu David Beckham right there. That's what that is.
It's harsh than Temu, actually.
That guy's not Temu. I wouldn't even be able to be like, oh, David lookalike, wannabe. And the guy, the surgeons that took his money and still, like, he left looking the same. Shame on you. Shame on you. You're also part of the problem, because you enabled this guy to say, yeah, sure. Sure, we can do it. No, you can't. No, you can't.
I don't know. I went for a haircut yesterday, right? And I had a Nigerian woman cut my hair, because I'm not very loyal about who cuts my hair. So I'll go wherever's the closest and whenever I have time. And she was busy. Like, I don't like it when they talk too much, because I'm not really there to be social. So I'm just like, this is what I need done. But, you know, you're the one who knows what you're doing. I never tell them like this. I never take a picture with me and go, I want to look like this in this picture. But she told me that people come there, people who look nothing like the picture they show her. And they go, I want you to cut my hair like this. And she goes, I don't have a lot to work with, right? When I arrive, I'm like, just tidy up the back, the sides, just take a little bit off the top. And then I say, but you know what you're doing, so do your thing. It's like going to a plumber and saying, you know, I want you to fix the pipes, but I want you to fix them so that they when you close them into each other, when you screw them into each other, they screw in counterclockwise. Because the plumber's going to look at you and go, I'm a plumber. I'll stick to that stuff. You just tell me where the pipes need, what you need fixed, and I'll fix the pipes. I'll decide what to use. I'll choose the equipment, all of that stuff. Why do people think when they go to a hairdresser or when they go to a plastic surgeon, they can tell them how to do their job?
Because everyone's got dreams, Gareth. Everyone's got dreams, and unfortunately, they have no understanding that they can't be made true.
But it's also like the inspo pick. I think for me, because I'm definitely guilty of when I get my hair done, I have a picture or a reference to say, this is what I'm thinking, you know, like, this is what I like, this is what, and then obviously give them the freedom to play around, to create something similar to that.
Yeah.
I don't expect them to do the exact thing, but it's more like, oh, I saw these braids, like this color. And if they're like, no, this color won't work for you, your skin tone, sharp, I listen to you. But I think it's more of like a inspiration, and I only understand it with hairstyles. If you go into a plastic surgeon and you're like, I want to look like Kim Kardashian, we really have a big problem, because Kim Kardashian doesn't look like Kim Kardashian. She's like switching it up every 3 months. So you walking in there, oh, Kim Kardashian.
You just admitted, Simpiwe, you are that person who goes with a photograph and says, this is what I want you to do.
Yes. Because how do I describe, okay, I want, you know, not just braids at the back and then like in the front needs to be tight and it must be. No, I don't have time to describe. Here's a picture. There you go. You know? Don't judge me.
I don't know. If I had to go to either a hairdresser or a plastic surgeon and say, here's what I want you to turn me into, I think they'd just chase me out of the room laughing.
You should try. You should try. I doubt it. You should try. Because clearly these ones are taking money left, right, and center from anyone. And yeah, they'll probably say, we can make you look like, I don't know, Bill Gates. And boom, shaka, boom. Bill Gates wannabe.
You know, Gord Laws, who was on the show last Friday, he always says, I look like I just snap on my hair like Lego.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the comments is like, Gareth's first question to someone who cuts his hair is, have you ever played with Lego? Thank you very much.
I'm surprised people.
Stop bringing pictures of Rihanna to your hairdresser, says Migs.
Yes. You just go in there with the latest styles that you see and you're like, this is what I want. And because we don't know what the style of the hairstyle is most of the time, you just call it by the celebrity name. So if Rihanna's rocking it, you're like, I want the Rihanna hairstyle. Then if it's Beyonce, I want the Beyonce hairstyle. And most of the time, the ladies know what you're talking about because that's the only hairstyle that you're doing for that month.
But have you ever seen those hairstyle places that actually have these pictures already there?
Yo, okay,
so
those
you go, and it's like being inside a U magazine in the 90s because they're all across the walls.
Yeah, those are, you have to be very careful. Let me tell you, you have to be very careful because if they already have the celebrity up there, they're going to tell the hairdresser themselves, they'll tell you, me, I can do Beyonce, I can do any hairstyle, you know? And then it's like they tell you stories which are obviously lies. I've met Beyonce, I did her hair, and you're just like, girl, I just need you to wash and comb. That's all I need you to do, you know. And they're a bit like extra. So be careful.
Imagine that she's got like plastic chairs and broken tiles on the floor, but she's done Beyonce's stuff.
Yes. Yes. And and you know the problem with hairdressers, you'll show them a picture. They'll never tell you, no, I can't do that, hey? Like, this is out of my league. Like, this is... No, they'll always say, yes, I can do it. Then 2 hours, 8 hours later, you're looking like, what? And you still have to pay her.
This has to become a show. Because you know, like shows like they were on E! A while ago, like Botched.
Yes.
We should have the hairdresser version of that. That'd be amazing.
It's scary. Like it's sad.
Start off by finding that that guy who paid £20,000 to look like David Beckham and he could be the host of the show.
Well, that's how he could make his 14 grand back. That guy looks like his entire youth was just basically chip packets and chocolate. And now he wants to be David Beckham when he's like 28.
shame. All right, so Ben, let's do a little bit of sport while we're bending it like him, and then we can get to some of the other big subjects and topics for discussion this morning. Of course, if you are in the comment section, like, subscribe, all of that stuff, we would love to hear from you. Drop us a comment. We are live this morning. It is Friday, the 24th of January. What do we have to look forward to sports-wise this weekend?
Well, it's showtime at the Australian Open. Currently, Djokovic in his 50th Grand Slam semi-final. It's just the greatest sports person to ever sport. He's currently 4-4 with Zverev. Zverev's the number two seed. Djokovic is the seventh seed in this one. That's the first semi-final on court right now. Then we've got Sinner versus Shelton after that. Madison Keys upsets Iga Swiatek, and she upset the rankings, not just the person herself. She'll be taking on Aryna Sabalenka in the final of the women's open there at the Aussie Open. But, of course, the URC is back. Some people have been waiting weeks and weeks for this. She's not a fan of the cups. Fuck them. So, URC is back, and basically, the Bulls are our best team, our best chance. They're currently sitting in fourth, but they've got two games in hand. They're going to catch up during the Six Nations. Stormers out of all cup competitions. They're currently at 10th. Lions having a bit of a shite season. They're currently in 12th. And the Sharks are idling in 5th. But you never know what they're going to do. They're very much like a vibes team, really. So today, if you really like Scottish and Irish guys, the big game tonight is Glasgow versus Connacht. That'll be at 9:35. Tomorrow, Lions versus the Bulls at Ellis Park. That'll be at 2:45. Big one tomorrow, though. Leinster, the greatest club rugby team out of Ireland, blah, 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 blah. They'll be taking on the Stormers. Now, the Stormers fielded a pretty second-stringish side last week at Racing 92 because they knew they were out of the cup anyway, but they primed themselves for this match. So it's a really big deal. If they can just get one point out of this game, I think it'll be like quite an achievement. And then after that, Cardiff will be hosting the Sharks at 7:15. And then Sunday, don't worry about it. Nedbank, round of 32. Nedbank Cup. So that's when we see really weird teams coming up against the sort of bigger ones. I won't go through all the fixtures there because some of these teams might not even be around. Mm-hmm. They're really weird names. Saturday, we've got Sundowns versus the Golden Stars. That'll be at 6. Sunday, Richards Bay versus Orlando Pirates at 3. Kaizer Chiefs are then taking on the Free Agents at 6. Maybe the Free Agents are like the Accrington Stanley of the Nedbank Cup. Hey.
You know, Ben, you can't tell us we're not going to look at these smaller, less important teams, because if it wasn't for looking at them, we wouldn't have known about Accrington Stanley, which is now Simpiwe's favorite football team.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a good point. Just give me a sec on that. So, yeah, and then Monday, Sekhukhune United versus Cape Town City is another big Nedbank Cup round of 32 game. Accrington Stanley, of course, Saturday they're away to Crewe Alexander in the Football League 2. Football League 2 is basically the fourth tier of English football. Now, currently, Accrington Stanley are sitting 21st in the logs in Beaver. Your team is floundering there. At the chance they go down to the fifth version. So Crewe Alexander, they're second in the log right now, looking really, really good. Tuesday, then they go straight back, and Accrington Stanley will be playing Cheltenham at home. So they rank 15th, chance to get 3 points there. But more importantly, on Saturday the 15th of February, Accrington Stanley will be having their big annual comedy night. It's £15 admission there. There'll be a host of local comedians. James, if you can bring up the flyer there.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, it's massive Accrington Stanley fans. Of course we're going to tell you. along with the talent there at the stadium, of course, on the night you'll be getting pie, peas and gravy will be the fare. 7:30 sharp there. So your £15 will get you a night of comedy. And look, if you do want to get more involved with the club, James, there was the other opportunities there that we need to share. You can host a player of the match. No, just if we get back to the player of the match proceedings. So there we go. If you want to get more involved, you can sponsor the match or the ball at Accrington Stanley. If you become a real high spender, you see there, Miss Accrington Stanley 2024, she will serve you a pint. all details there, or just DM James. James is actually taking a bit of an affiliate marketing role at Accrington Stanley here. All produce secured. James gets a bit of a cut. And of course, there is the merch. There's the merch. There we go. Stanley Till I Die, £18. Just use checkout code there, James Stanley, and you'll get a pound off. So there we go. There's your Accrington Stanley merch updates.
They're doing too much. Like,
no. Yeah, really, really nice shirts. Proper football, of course. English Premier League. Yeah, that's still going.
Okay.
I mean, Liverpool are winning. They're probably going to win. Arsenal are clinging on to second. You know, Arsenal are a great chasing team. Eh? They're third in the Champions League right now. They're second in this. So the big game is there. Brighton, they've got a much tougher game because they're not playing Man United this week. They're going to play a much tougher game. They've got
is
Everton.
Man United still losing?
All the time.
Oh, okay.
That'll be at 5. Liverpool versus Ipswich, so more points for the champions there. Wolves will be hosting Arsenal, same time. And Bournemouth are taking on Nottingham Forest. The big game on the weekend is going to be Man City versus Chelsea. Man City went and Man City did so hard against PSG in the Champions League this week. 2-0 up and they lost 4-2. Just when we thought they were coming back. Nope. Sunday, Spurs. Relegation threatened Spurs. Oh, these Oaks are so shy this year. They'll take you on Leicester at 4. Aston Villa versus West Ham at 6:30. And Fulham versus Man United at 9. SA20 obviously still roaring on. We've got a few more weeks of this. And I think beginning of February, we're going to the knockout stages. We'll get more into that at the time. But today, Sunrisers Eastern Cape, who are resurgent in the league. They lost their first three, fired back, and they won the next three with bonus points. They'll be taking on my team, the Joburg Super Kings, this evening at 5:30. And it really is. It's the greatest thing you can ever do in that area is go to one of these games. It really is. It's beautiful. The crowd's great. The vibe's amazing. Saturday, the Paarl Royals will be taking on the Pretoria Capitals at 1 o'clock. And then the MI Cape Town versus Durban Super Giants. I'm going to be at that game at Newlands.
Oh, look at your face.
So excited. So excited. My Instagram is basically just going to be like sunset shots, beers, mountain, and, you know, good times.
Don't forget the sunscreen.
Well, thankfully the game kicks off there at 5:30. I should be all right. And then Sunday, Joburg Super Kings home at the Wanderers versus the resurgent Sunrisers Eastern Cape. Gareth, are you still with us?
I am indeed. No, okay, I was just looking at the comments here, Ben, and I agree with Miggs. I think it was Miggs, or could be Carl DeSantos. He says, we don't appreciate Ben enough. Look at all this research that he's done on Accrington Stanley. A real professional, top draw. I couldn't agree more, Ben. I mean, who else would have known about something to the level, the detail that you go to and you find things like pie, peas, and gravy for £15. I mean, that's extraordinary. There's no other sports guy in the whole world. And I know that's not all you do.
No, I absolutely appreciate that. You know, and to show further bows here, Gareth, James brought up last week that I don't talk enough about women's sport. And here I am. I'll take it on the chin. but I got to say, I'll also call a spade and bullshit where it is. You know, there's the women's Ashes cricket.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You told me.
Yeah. Okay. I think we touched on this a while ago. So I think, you know, I think women's sport is phenomenal. Professional women's sport, the business model is not quite there because, as we know, women don't like women's sport. But at the same time, identity is a key thing in how you build sport. So listen to this, and I think this is absolutely taking liberties here. Before the ODI series between Australia and England, the women's, in 1998, the president of the Women's Cricket Association, Norma Izzard, she devised a way for the women to have a trophy of their own like the men's Ashes. So just to give you a quick background there, the Ashes were, the English, they invented the game, they were the best. They got hammered by the Aussies, they were embarrassed, they burnt the bales because they said cricket had died that day. So arrogant they were. And so was the rivalry and the hiss that they burnt the bales and became the Ashes. This tiny little urn they play for that. That's tradition. Yeah. That's rivalry. That's sport. So Norma reckons, no, cool, we'll do our own thing. So they both signed a miniature cricket bat, the teams. They then burnt it in a wok along with the Women's Cricket Association Constitution and Rule Book. So they decided to make their own Ashes somewhere in the late 90s. I mean, this is like that Ghostbusters movie that they made just with a female cast. Make your own shit. Have your own identity. Do your own thing. So then Norma, full of ideas, this Norma, she then commissioned a trophy to be made out of these Ashes. So they made a wooden ball, and the Ashes of this rule book that these women made up went in there. But then one went missing. So they don't even know if they've got these original Ashes anymore. So then Norma, full of good ideas again. James, I think I sent you a picture. They then decide to make a new trophy with the so-so ball, and then they put 9 stumps around this ball. Now, you don't need to be a rocket scientist or a sport aficionado to know that on a cricket pitch, there's only 6 stumps.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what's the other 3 for?
Well, it's because clearly these women lose everything, so they need an extra bunch in case they You know, I mean, they lose, like, the original.
It's just throwing around. I mean, so now the women's Ashes, they play three T20s, three ODIs, and a one-off test so they can play for these Ashes. The Ashes is the Ashes. Can they not just create something else? Like, people want to take women's sports seriously. Cool. Then what's your identity? Where's the rivalry?
The female Ashes?
Where's the story behind it? Norma just put a wok next to the pitch and that's she set fire right to a there. Book. No, you need rivalries. You need antagonistic players. You need beef. You need all these kind of things. And if you don't have it, don't try and then Timu it out of the side here and retrofit your heritage on me. So I, for one, love you watching this. If you are watching it and you care about it, though, England are getting absolutely thrashed right now. They lost all three of the ODIs. They're about to lose all three of the T20s. And there's a one-off test beginning of February. Yeah, James, I'm not sure if that's what you had in mind, but there you go. There's your sport for the weekend.
And there's a word for this. It's when you take something, you kind of make a shitty artificial copy of it, but it never really lives up to the original. And I agree with you. Like, come up with your own legend. Come up with your own story. The word that I'm looking for is pastiche. It's like something that's put together as an imitation of the original. And it just never has the gravitas of like an actual story.
Stolen Valor. Same ballpark.
Story.
So what they need to do is go back, find the rivalries, find out who these women hate each other. Like, has someone bowled a particular fantastic spell? Was there a particular game that shaped the course of this? Not some woman with a wok and a book. And yes, I do feel strongly about this, because for women's sport to flourish, they need to have their own stuff. So we can't just keep cut and pasting crap, because everyone's going to look at it like, oh, shame. You know, the South African thing where people say, oh, shame. That's what sport is. It's like, yay, they're trying, oh, shame.
But don't you think they do that because it's hopping on like what's already established? So it's easier to say the women's Ashes, and people already know what that is and they associate that with cricket. So it's like, aha.
No, I get it. It's like buying a franchise rather than opening your own thing.
Yes.
I appreciate that, yes. But we're looking long play here, right? We're not looking just to kind of cover our bases for 10 years. That Ashes story is
there. There might even be some famous woman in the history of cricket, you know. I don't know. It's only about 80 years old. But let's find one who's dead and use her ashes, for heaven's sake.
But exactly. like if Helen of Troy bowled a bit of leg spin to a Spartan, let's find that story.
Yeah, that would be a hell of a story.
It's a story that you can then like really respect because it's different.
Yeah. Lee thought that when I used the word pastiche, I'd rather use Fong Kong because people would understand that a bit better. But yeah, same thing. Buy Ben a dictionary shirt that says pastiche. So almost like we would be wearing Stanley. What's Stanley for life?
Stanley to death, yeah.
Till I die.
Stanley till I die.
Yeah.
You could wear one that says pastiche and then have a picture of Ashes players on it.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, they would know how to make a story. If you walked in there with a picture of all these women's Ashes players and it said pastiche underneath, they'd burn you, Ben. Then they'd at least have a trophy worthy of something.
But that's great. Then the fight that I bring will define the tournament. So that when people are going, one day I want to grow up and play in that, it's because there's a story.
Exactly.
Sport's all about stories, guys. Let's be honest. I sit here on this couch every single year. I try to regurgitate everything that comes up. The same things every fucking year. Different kind of player faces. You've got to have stories. Otherwise, no one really cares, unfortunately.
Touché.
All right. So, is that all the sport that we've got?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, obviously, there's some golf kicking around here and there. But those are your big ones. The URC being back, I think, is really great because the SA teams, they're really getting hammered in the Investec Champions Cup. If you go onto the On The Bounce show this week, we actually have a huge catch-up with rugby with my mate Darvey, who knows more about rugby than any of us. So that will be on the Real Network, episode 32. Catch all of that, and you'll be right up to speed with rugby.
Very, very good. While we've got you and Simpiwe in the studio, Ben, because I've got two special guests joining us just after 7, and we're going to talk about something much more serious. You know, and I'll just throw forward to this, but we'll get to what I want you to talk about in a second. The president signed something called the expropriation bill yesterday. And it seems to me, yeah, you heard about this, right? Mm-hmm. It seems to me that this government is pretty much trying its best to start a war with anybody who's trying to build a business, buy themselves a home, look after what they've got, make themselves a living, provide for their families. It looks like this government not only wants to take almost half your money in taxes, they now also are going to try and find ways to steal your stuff, basically, at gunpoint, just like the common criminals that so many of them in government are. So we're going to talk to two guys who are running a really, really powerful campaign against the government doing all of these things and essentially trying to steal your things, take control of stuff that isn't their business, and start a war with you. And there are people at the forefront of this war, and I'm very, very pleased to have Pete LaRue and Russell Lamberti, who are going to join me in a short while. They are from Saakalicha, and they've been fighting government in court for years, and they win and win and win and end up beating government back from all of their ridiculous laws and all of the things that they're trying to do that trespass on your rights. So don't miss that. That's after 7 o'clock this morning. But while we've got Ben and Simpiwe there, Sims, I didn't realize this is a thing. And Ben told me about this on Wednesday. Apparently there are guys who are so unhappy being short that they actually have their legs broken and pieces of bone added to make themselves taller. I always thought if you're short, you're short. There's nothing you can do. But, you know, we live in 2025 and there are ways around everything. Well, apparently,
Gareth, it's actually steel rods. So they break the legs and the femur and they put steel rods in, which will give them another, I don't know, 8 inches in height, of course, in beer.
Can't give you that much.
Well, it depends what you go for. I mean, like with all of these jobs, you get people who want to do it a little bit and people who need to do a lot. But the truth is, I mean, like when I first saw the story 2 years ago, I thought this is absolutely crazy. But then you realize, like, some women will look at you, and I know this from guys, like, I've got various WhatsApp groups, and I mean, he won't mind me mentioning this, but I've got a friend, shout out Rodders, and he always posts these, like, short memes. It's like, you get these women, and they'll be no oil paintings themselves, but they're adamant that the guy's got to be 6 foot tall. And I think it just comes down to it, is that they know that you need to be tall in life.
Yeah, so something about a tall guy, like, imagine me entertaining a short king. I'm short myself. Like, what's going on down there,
Sway? You patronized when you said short king there. Just throw a king to make sure that
you know. Like, what are we going to talk about? Like, so I can't wear heels around you. I can't, like, hey, what are you doing? Because the air down there. No, like, like there's some sort of respect when you have to look up to, and you're literally looking up to this guy. You're like, hey.
Yeah, so again, I thought it was ridiculous. You know, appreciate what you got in life, whatever, whatever. But if you just go, you know, like those Instagram things, like, go disappear for a year. Don't do social media. Come back like strong. You can disappear for a year. You get an extra, let's just say 8 inches of height. You'll come back. Your life will be different. There is no doubt about it. Absolutely different. Sure, you won't wear like tiny shorts to show the scars, or maybe you won't become a marathon runner after that. But small price to pay for now being tall.
Okay, but what does the healing process look like? And are you able to walk normally after?
Yeah,
the,
so I mean, look, with all things, it depends on what you bring to the party. So if you're already really unhealthy and you're quite old, your healing will be difficult. But if you're young and you do everything the doctors tell you and you take it bit by bit, you don't go straight into like trying to clean and jerk 300 kilograms, it's fine. It's going to take a while. You have to relearn to walk, obviously. Like, they've just broken your leg. You've now got the rods in. But yeah. You come back living a normal life.
I don't know if I could respect a guy that did that, though.
But you wouldn't date a short guy. So we're not caught in this little catch 22.
But yeah. I could understand, like, you're short because, hey, you know, those are the cards that you're given. But now you did something where, like, imagine in, like, an argument or whatever, someone's going to use that against you. Like, they're going to be like, you're not even that tall. You're just faking it.
Okay, so here's another thing. What if you meet a guy and you really love him, but every time it's like, oh, he's great, but he's short. It's like guys who want women with big breasts and they meet the love of their life and she's flat-chested. I know a guy personally who's bought 3 boob jobs for girlfriends because that's his type, right? That's
what men do. Like, but no, men this is the do same. That.
But now, what if a guy knows that you hate the fact that he's short and it'd be great and he's like, you know what, I'm going to take one but for the relationship here.
No, you see, I think we need to understand that when it comes to women and men, men will do certain things and I think it's kind of okay, you know, in the relationship, whatever, it's your business. But I think for a man, for you to break your knees and whatnot, just to look taller, no, don't do that. Don't do that, Sway. Don't.
But then you're going to walk out on him when you meet a taller guy and then the relationship's over.
Hey, you know what? That's my preference. There are ladies out there that will date short kings. And don't stop yourself from finding true love, okay? There's people out there that will date a short guy. I'm not one of those people, you know, but I'm advocating for the short guys that you will find love. You will find love, I promise you.
You're not my type, but I'll, you know, there's someone for you somewhere, you ugly
yes,
son of a
bitch. There is.
What you're saying that every pot's got a short lid somewhere.
Yeah. I just want to say this. The proportions are going to be wrong, Ben. So if they break your femur in your upper leg, suddenly you're going to have a very long upper leg and then terribly short lower leg.
Yeah, but you don't hang around a lot of short people. The next time you see a short person, take a photo of them just sitting like this, okay? So we're talking torso only. You'll find a lot of short people actually just do have short femurs. Like, I haven't done the biggest case study on this, right? I'm broad stroking as usual. But a lot of people, it's not that they're short because every single bit of them is incrementally small. Some of them just have short legs. It's really a thing, guys.
And it's okay. Like, no. You know, no, it is. You know,
you lie.
It's okay. Like, just embrace how you were born. And I think, let me say this, the surgery is just unnecessary. You're putting yourself and your life in danger the minute you go under the knife. I can't advocate for that. Like, don't do it, especially as a man. Like, females are not, especially when girls find out the truth. Like, they might like you for a hot minute because you look taller. But the minute they find out the truth, oh, child, you're going to be trending. They're going to take pictures of your females here. And they're like, this guy is catfishing me.
But he's not, though, because his finished product is now that. It's like an old fat man who owns a yacht. He's still an old fat man, but the yacht gets him the chicks.
No, but he's not selling me dreams. He has money.
Of course, but this
and there's
the thing.
No ugly rich guy.
That's the thing, but height is height. How you stand next to a thing, there's no comments. The guy is now 1.8 meters. You can't take that away from him.
I mean, deep down inside, though, the guy's still going to have short man syndrome. This is the problem.
I mean, yeah, psychologically, it'd be a wreck. But I mean, that's...
you see, now who must deal with that? Because I'm thinking I'm dealing with my 6 foot something here, you know? And then here you are like, guys.
You augment everything. There's going to be issues. Don't come here with now. This is like any other enhancement in the world. Just like a guy who knows you're there for his money. He's got an issue already. Just like the guy who knows, like women as well. Like, you can meet chicks in clubs and stuff, and you know they don't look like that, but they play along for that purpose.
Vincent's cutting to the chase. He says, Simpiwe, what about a guy who has shitloads of money? A short guy.
Or he can stand on his cash. Hey, Simpiwe, that's the line you're going to say. That's the line you're going to use.
The minute he stands in his wallet, he's this much taller.
You guys know me all too well. You know what I mean? As I said, there's no ugly millionaire. There's no ugly billionaire. Like, if you got money, you are perfect the way you are. Okay? Don't change nothing about you. You're clearly doing something right in life.
But if an
Oak
wants a longer femur, you will judge him to death.
Yes! Oh, hang on. Because why? Why are you doing that thing? Why? Why?
To the degree that you should be able to change anything, and you know, we live in a time where it's possible to have surgery like this, and you know, it doesn't necessarily need to be an ordeal. And you know, whether it's going to look like David Beckham and coming up with £14,000 in debt, or if it's going for a haircut like I did yesterday, we're all trying to improve ourselves as much as possible. And I suppose some people are just willing to spend more money than others. I do have to agree with Simpiwe though. If you can avoid it, try your very best not to end up in hospital for any good reason. That's where people get sick and that's where bad things happen. You know, you hear about these super bugs and things, and I know that's not at all what we're talking about, but it is worth a discussion. So quickly, before we go for the first hour, Ben, do you want to talk about this 21-day habit thing or do you want to save that for next week?
Yeah, let's do it for next week, Gareth. Let's do it for next week. Okay. I think there's a lot of nuanced things that you can bring into it. And also, we'll be closer to the start of the next month where it'll make a lot more sense.
Okay.
All right. Very, very good.
Always thinking.
When we come back, thank you, Ben. And when we come back in the next couple of minutes, we will have two really, really awesome people in the studio, Russell Lamberti and Pete LaRue. They're both from Saakalicha, and they are economists. They are people who understand how things work. They've also actively opposed policies of this government, engaging in legal challenges, most of which they've won, as I said earlier, against really terrible government ideas. And we know in this country, we have lots of those. So stick around. It's not normally what we do for a Friday, but the guys happen to both be around and they've got lots to talk about. And the president just yesterday signed something called the Expropriation Bill, which should make everybody a little bit nervous. So stick around. That's coming up next. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. It's on the Real Network. And you can join us on YouTube if you aren't there already. In the comments section, let's hear from you. We'll be back in just a moment.